Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door,
this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today, we are going to be beginning Season 16 of Real Life, Real Crime. And y'all, I don't really have a rhyme or reason when I start a season or stop a season. So, you know, it's not so many episodes or whatever. I just do it whenever I feel like it. I guess it's good to be king, good and, you know, my shit, right? But I'm so thankful for each and every one of y'all, and because I've been doing this, you know, almost 6 years now. And it's because y'all keep liking and sharing and putting up with the cases and the different things that I do over the years, right? But every season I start out, or almost every season, I started out with an Ask Me Anything episode. And I'm going to thank all the Patreon and convicts and Apple subscribers. Again, you just got another episode, bonus episode last week, and thank you all for subscribing. It, you know, just really helps out the show, and it's amazing. You're amazing. If you can't be a patron or a convict or an Apple subscriber, I totally get it. I love you just as much. Truly, lifers are the best fans in the world, okay? And thank you everybody for the birthday wishes and all the stuff, and Miss Gatlin, who sent me a box of all the Christmas Vacation Cousin Eddie stuff. Thank you so much. That was really sweet, sweetheart. I forgot to post the video. But ask me anything, y'all. Y'all shock me every time when you send in these questions. There's some, you know, of course, some of them are repeats, but there's a lot of really, really great questions, and I'm going to take a few minutes and read them to you. And we are... got a lot of big stuff coming, y'all. There's definitely TV stuff coming. Cold Case Files episode is coming. It's going to be in the beginning of the new season that they're about to release. And we have some other TV stuff coming that I can't talk about yet, but it's there. So stick with us. It's going to be an interesting season. A lot of old school cop stories. We're going to be doing some, I don't want to call them follow-ups, but closing out some stories and different things like that. So just stick with us and love and appreciate each and every one of you, and let's roll with it. First question comes from Miss Chelsea Connors. And she says, any cases you solved involved a psychic's help? All right, Chelsea, I get this one. I've had this one before. I don't know that I've answered it directly, because I had some stuff that was going on in a case. But I am not against using any type of help that I can get, but whatever it takes to solve the crime. I'll tell you this, the most recent case that, well, I don't know if I should say that. Yes, I've used psychics, and there's a case that I'm actually working now. Murder case. I know it's a murder. And one of the fans and one of the lifers, and you know who you are, they are in contact with a psychic, and the psychic keeps saying, hey, check this, check that, check this, check that. And a lot of it's very, very true. I mean, like freak you out information that they have, but the taking that information and trying to validate it, it's tough, because sometimes the information is a little bit vague. And but I can tell you this, I believe in it. I absolutely believe I have used it. I can't really go into details on it, but like on this one case, the psychic who's from way, way not in the state of Louisiana, has drawn, circled a spot on the map, and just they didn't even have the full gist of the story about everything that happened. I'm trying not to give it away, but they sent a thing in, and the psychic actually circled an area on a map that she could not have known about, and said, this is where the body's at. It's in the water, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of other things that she said that were spot on. Now, it's challenging as to what you can do with that information. It's not like you can go to a judge and say, hey, I got a psychic out of New York City that's sending me this information. Can I get a warrant? It doesn't work like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've used them. No doubt about it, Chelsea. I've used them. I continue to do it. Hey, I'm open to whatever. And I believe that, you know, people do have psychic ability. Well, I don't care what deity you pray to. I mean, if you ever read the Bible, the gift of discernment is one of the gifts in the Bible, and I know certain people have that, right? So very good question. Thank you, Chelsea, and I really, really do appreciate you. So let's go to Miss Jill Lynn Lagowski, right? I hope I said it right, Jill. Jill says, why do they say the first 24 to 48 hours are the most important in a missing persons case, but then when someone contacts the PD concerning a missing person, they say we have to wait at least 24 hours. Okay, Jill, it's a good question, but I think you're off a little bit on it. The what they say is the first 24 to 48 hours are the most important in a homicide investigation. Okay. Not necessarily missing person's case. Okay. But the, it's kind of multifaceted. The reason they do the 24 hour, and I don't like that. I don't like that, that rule, if you will, that most departments use because, oh, let me see how I can explain this. When people come in and make a missing persons report, right? And this happened. I've talked about it several times on Real Life Real Crime. When they come in to make a missing persons report, you got to use your spidey senses, right? If they come in and make a missing report of like little Caitlin Adele, you know, a 12-year-old that, we saw her get off the school bus and she's gone and what have you, right? And Detective Ben Ballard called me and said, hey, I need your help down here on this one. Something's not right. And he was right. But sometimes, a lot of times when people come into the detective's office, they'll be like, oh, you know, my husband's missing or whatever. And, you know, you talk to them, do they have any kind of narcotics problem, blah, 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 whatever. Or have you had any fights recently and what have you? And sometimes you could just tell you like, this dude's going to show up and they're on a bender or whatever. So I don't think that you don't discount anyone coming in saying their loved one's missing and wanting to file that report. I just think some of them that you know right away it's fucked. And as you end up working a homicide. Now, it is absolutely true that the first 48 hours in a homicide case are the most important. That's when it's for a bunch of reasons, like that's when you first get in your evidence. It's when you witness statements are fresh in their mind of the people that saw what happened. If you catch the murderer, or if you're interviewing the murderer, that's when they're most likely to break and give you the juice, right? Because it's fresh and they're coming down from doing whatever they did. The evidence collection, video surveillance collection, it's the hottest time to get the juice, right? And the hotter it is, that first 48 hours, the more likely you are to solve it. So there's a lot that goes into that, Jill. A lot more than I'm probably thinking about right now. But on the waiting 24 hours thing, you know what? If it ever happens to your people and you believe, you go in and report and they give you that stuff and you really think something's wrong, call the news media. All right. The news media, especially if it's an elected official like a sheriff, the news media comes out and hits the sheriff and they're like, hey, what are you doing about this? You better believe the sheriff's going to put some money on it. So I wouldn't necessarily just take that 24-hour notice. Now, if this person has done it, and this happened to me several times, this person has a habit of disappearing on drug benders or running off with a boyfriend because they're mad at their parents or what have you, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But there's been a lot of cases where people come in to report missing persons, and you just know something stinks, and so you got to get on it. Hopefully I answered, okay? So the next one is from Jordan Jennings, and it says, Jordan says, did you imagine yourself being in this position when you were 10 years old? Well, Jordan, I'm going to let the cat out the bag and then tell people, I don't know that I've ever said this on the podcast. Pretty sure I didn't. When I was 10 years old, you know what I wanted to be? This is really going to make you laugh. I actually wanted to be a priest. Naturally, that didn't come to fruition, right? But I wanted to be a priest, and I wanted to be in the military, and then I wanted to be a cop. Now, of course, I couldn't imagine podcasts because we didn't have internet back then. Or be in a position where I would be speaking to, you know, millions of people, and being so blessed and just telling stories. Now, I could have never, ever imagined that, Jordan. But I wanted to be a cop was always on my radar. A couple other things I wanted to be. I actually wanted to be an archaeologist at one point. I did want to be a reporter at one point. At one point, I wanted to be in advertising, meaning I wanted to write commercials. I know that sounds crazy. Yeah, what else? Oh, I want to be a marine biologist because I love anything to do with water. But it all shakes out, and now I'm just an old cop that tells stories. Thank you, Jordan Jennings, for your question. All right. So, Miss Jacqueline Cornett. Jacqueline, you know I'm so bad with names, sweetie. But it's C-O-R-R-C-O-R-N-T. C-O-R-R-E-N-T. So Jacqueline says, are you planning any more meet and greets in South Louisiana soon? I have listened to you from the start. I'm a medical legal death investigator in Jefferson Parish, so your stories hit close to home! Exclamation. I would love a sit down or a meet and greet to exchange stories and see if we know some of the same people in the field! Exclamation. Jacqueline, well, if you are involved in the death investigator part, I'm actually speaking. I'm giving a keynote speech at on March the 1st in Covington for, I think it's the Coroner's Association, the Death Investigators yearly conference or whatever they have. So I'm going to be speaking then. Meet and greets, I think I'm going to step that game up a little bit, Jack. I kind of got away from it in the last year. And so I'm going to start doing that. Maybe, you know, coming to JP somewhere. You tell me what your favorite local bar is, and we can advertise it a week ahead of time. I mean, I'm going to get out amongst the people more. And meet my fans, right? I love all the lifers. I mean, lifers come up to me all the time, no matter where I am in public, and I love that. So y'all don't be afraid to come up, and I'd love to take a picture with you and talk to you about how you started listening to podcasts and everything else. But Jacqueline emailed me at woody@realliferealcrime.com, and I'd love to sit down with you and pick your brain on some of your stories, right? And maybe, I don't know, we probably haven't worked anything together, but you know, the first homicide school I ever went to was in JP, Jefferson Parish. And so, small world. And I would love to sit down and talk to you, pick your brain about some of your stories. All right. So yeah, meet and greets. I'm about to start doing more of that. And you know, I'm not charging or whatever. I'm maybe a week out ahead of time. Y'all tell me where your favorite place is, your favorite bar is, and we'll go out on like a Wednesday night, and people can come over, and we can hang out, shoot the shit, and take pictures or whatever. All right, thank you, Jacqueline. All right, Miss Candace, and golly, I know how to say your last name, Pusho. Middle name, or probably maiden name, Chelette. So Miss Candace says, has anyone from your episodes tried to contact you from prison once they heard or found out about the episodes with them in it? Candace, you know what? I'm not going to answer that one directly because I'm working on something on one of them. But I tell you what's funny. After Courtney Coco's case and Dateline and all that, and going to number one in the world, do you know what I did have contact me from prison? I had all these dudes who had cell phones illegal inside the prison, and they sent me videos of themselves stating that they were innocent. I'm like five or six different ones from different places all over the United States. They sent me videos from inside prison to my email, or maybe it was Facebook Messenger, I don't remember, but they saying they were innocent and wanted me to work their cases. As far as there is definitely one that's reached out to me, and I can't go into the reasons on it, Candace, because there's some stuff that's being adjudicated. But great question. Great question. And I appreciate it. I know that, you know, a lot of people have reached out to me about episodes that I've done, but mostly it's because their family members were involved or something like that. So, all right, moving on. Miss Amber Sibley Macklin. Miss Amber, thank you for sending in your question. She says, what do you want to do if and when you retire? Amber, that's just love because I am retired, right? Supposed to be. And to me, when you say the word retired, just means you work harder than you ever have. Although, hey man, I spend so many hours doing this every day between social media and the shows and everything else. I don't really consider it work. I just consider it a real blessing. But if I could walk away right now, I would have a house in Belize on an island, or maybe Roatan, somewhere in the Caribbean, where I could walk out and I could go scuba diving every day, or at least snorkeling. That's what I would do. And I would drink up cold beers when I'd come in and cook good fresh seafood or whatever. And I'd like to sit around and cook and drink and go scuba diving. And of course, hunting when hunting season comes. And watch my kids grow up, right? I'm sure at some point grandbabies are going to be in the picture. Really, really good question there, Amber. And maybe, Amber, I'd like to think that I'm going to be retired within the next 6 years. So we'll see how it works out. Thank you for your question, sweetie. All right. So let's see. Next we have, Amber, another question for Amber Sibley Macklin. What is the status of the Swim podcast? And y'all, if you don't know about it, I've been talking about starting this new podcast called Someone Swim. It's an acronym for Someone Who Isn't Me. Let me tell you what, Amber, I'm about to lay that bitch down, and it's going to start. Unfortunately, the thing that I hate about podcasts, I love podcasts. The thing I hate about it is the business side, man, if I could just get behind the microphone and tell my shit, then, you know, and just do this, like it's 5:30 in the morning right now and I'm doing this and I love it. The business side is what, golly, I don't want to get into it. I'm about to start doing it regardless, and I'm gonna let the chips fall where they may. After I said I was going to do it, then it comes out pretty much that maybe legally that I couldn't do it. Well, guess what? I'm just going to do it anyway. It's going to be totally separate from Real Life, Real Crime. It's going to be really, really, really a lot of adult funny stuff, but it's going to be about Swim's life. And let me tell you what, Swim's life, if you think the dude can tell a story now, and some of them might have some crime stuff in it, but most of it's just going to be stories about the crazy ass life that he lived or has lived. And it'll be under Society and Culture. I'm looking at probably by the end of February, trying to get the first episode out. It's going to be on a total separate RSS feed. And that's what RSS feed is, like the channel, like Real Life, Real Crime and Real Life, Real Crime Daily are on the same RSS feed. Like, and Bloody Angola is on a separate RSS feed. And that's wherever you're carried from. And it's broadcast out to, you know, to everywhere in the world. But Swim is coming. And I'm gonna tell you the origin of it. We get to sit around having a few beers with the boys, and the old bullshit stories start coming out, or people are like, oh yeah, remember the time you did this and that? And so Swim is going to be like a 3-beer minimum for, I'm going to tell the stories, but it's Swim, Someone Who Isn't Me, get it? And plausible deniability. And it's going to be different than Real Life, Real Crime. It's going to be more lighthearted, and probably a lot of it's going to be offensive to a lot of people, but I don't care. It's just going to be, it's going to be fun. 3-beer minimum, meaning I have to have at least 3 beers before I start to record it. You're going to love it, or you're really going to hate it. But it's coming, and I've got the artwork done, or Jim Chapman has the artwork done and everything else, and it's ready to rock and roll. It's just a matter of the business side of shit that I had to get through, right? But so being tied, having your hands tied in one way, and then those things don't come to fruition, then you know what? I got to eat. So swim will be coming soon, okay? So let's move along. And Michelle, well, you know what? Let me go to Ruthie Cox Dorey first. Ruthie, you know I love you. You're an OG lifer. Ruthie put in a couple. And you know what? I'm going to cover them all. Ruthie says, what's the funniest joke you know? Ruthie, I don't know any funny jokes. I tell some like during the stories or whatever. Like one of my favorites is the old detective. All the detectives sitting around and they were drinking their afternoon coffee, the older detectives. And the one said, you know, I've been married for 52 years or however long it was. And he said his wife's name, he said, still use Vaseline for sex. And my partner at the time told him, he said, Mr. And I'm not going to give his name. Said, hey, Mr. He said, you telling me you got all them kids and they're all grown now, and you've been married 50 some years, and this is gonna be crude, y'all. It's still so tight that you got to use Vaseline to have sex. And he looked at him and said, "Fuck no, son." He said, "I put Vaseline on the outside of the doorknob so the grandkids can't walk in." Anyway, it's probably not the funniest I know, Ruthie, but I always like that one. Michelle Wright Martin and. Long time OG lifer. Love you very much. She says, any updates on Barbara Blunt's case? Well, let's talk about that. And I need to mention it more on the podcast episodes. Besides this idiot, whatever his name is, Bayou Justice or whatever, he got on, he did some kind of video and he talked about me and said that I went with Sheriff R to these people's home and basically disavowed or whatever their statement about on the day that Miss Barbara went missing. First of all, he's an idiot. I've never been to anywhere with Sheriff Jason R on this case to anyone's home, especially not that couple from Alabama who were originally from Holden. As a matter of fact, I was the one that found in the case file after Sheriff R brought me on, I found it, their statement in there. So he's an idiot and just wants the attention. But Miss Barbara's case, there's what you know, and then there's what you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And now proven beyond a reasonable doubt will get you an arrest, right? But probable cause will get you arrest. And proven beyond a reasonable doubt is what you got to take to trial. And
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, right? Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both.
Cool.
And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Going to go to trial, and I can't tell you what it is that I know, but I can beg y'all to please keep calling in your tips, because they know who did it, meaning the killers know who did it to Miss Barbara, and I have the knowledge that I have, but having the knowledge and needing that one little piece of something extra to bring it home. And it's hard. It's hard, hard. But you better believe those guys working on it. And I've never given up on it. Look, we've done stuff even recently, like going digging and stuff like that, off of tips that lifers have sent in. And every one of them has passed on to the sheriff's office unless they ask me not to do it. And when we got a hold of it, it was frozen ice cold. Let's just say it's not frozen ice cold, but somebody knows. Miss Barbara's body did not get moved and hidden by one person. I'll tell you that much. And if more than one person is involved, you always have the chance of getting the juice. All right. So y'all keep sending your tips. It's a horrible, horrible case. I hate it. I hate it for the family. We found out so much stuff we just can't share because we didn't want to tip the hand. But I still believe in my heart that y'all are going to call in or get in touch with me and give me the one piece of information. And somebody knows. And you know you're listening to me. The killers are listening to me. You better believe they listen to every show just to see if they hear Miss Barbara's name brought up. Again, call in your tips, people. All right. But knowing and being able to prove. You know, murder never goes away. I mean, the charge for murder doesn't get prescribed, meaning they can be 80 years old and catch the charge. And I believe in justice, and I believe in y'all, and I know that someone knows, and I'm praying that it's coming. So that's the update. But we never stopped on Miss Barbara. So, all right. Ruthie again. Ruthie's got a couple funny ones. Like she said, what would you do if you could be invisible for one day? I don't know. I don't want to say anything and get myself in trouble. Ruthie, I'm going to table that one for next time, sweetie. And she said, what is the most useless or silly superpower that you possess? I'm going to save those two, Ruthie. I might do a funny one on the next one because I'm reading them and I don't want to say anything that's... You get me in trouble, girl. All right. I'm going to do one more from Ruthie. Ruthie says, what law would you introduce if you had the power to make one? I'll tell you what I would do, Ruthie. If I had the power to make one, I would introduce the law that if you are convicted and, like, let's say through DNA, something concrete, I fuck the appeals process. If you're convicted and it's concrete, like DNA, it's, you know, less than one in 100 trillion chance that somebody else did it. I think the law should be an eye for an eye. I think they ought to immediately take you outside the courtroom, make it a public execution. But I think the law should be whatever you did to your victims gets done to you. So if you cut out your victim's eyes and rape them and slit their throat, I think they should do that in front of the whole world and televise it and put it on the internet and everything. But it's got to be swift and certain. I'm talking about, like, it's concrete cases, not ones, you know, there's a lot of innocent people get convicted. I get that. I'm talking about something like, they got your ass on video or the DNA, blah, 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 whatever. It's just a dead, lock, solid case. My law would be swift and certain. Just as soon as they come down with that guilty verdict, that have the platform in the town square and do it exactly like they gave it to their victims. No mercy. And that would be my law. And so... And that's why when people ask me to run for public office, I'm like, you don't want me to run for public office. At least the bad people don't. Let's see. Let's go to the land down under. Steven Johnson says, g'day, mate. And then he literally spelled it like that, G-D-A-Y, mate. I'm from Australia and would like to know if you have followed any Australian unsolved crimes. And what would be the one Australian case you would want to be involved in solving? And, you know, I had to look this one up because I'd heard of lots of different ones and seen, like, different documentaries and stuff on different ones. The Wanda Beach murders from January of 65, which is 5 years before I was born, y'all, in... two teenage girls were murdered, and they interviewed over 16,000 people and had 5,000 suspects. And there's actually a documentary on it, and it's really just crazy. If you get to watch that, go watch it. I mean, I would like to work on any of Australia's cold cases, right? And let me tell you that most people don't know. When I started Real Life Real Crime, what's his name? It's True Crime Island, and Cam, I think his name is. He actually gave me my first cross promo, and he's an Australian podcaster, true crime podcaster. And I had we have lots of great lifers that are from Australia, and they got a lot of good crime. I hate to say good crimes, but a lot of really, really good stories, and some of the there was another one with three little girls that got married, murdered. I can't remember the name of it right now that I saw also, but any case, I just like cold cases, y'all, and if I have the time to work them, to sit down and go through and dig through, not to play armchair quarterback or throw shade on people, but have the knowledge I have now and be able to come in with a clear third eye, if you will, and not be biased one way or another, and get into those cases. So, great question, Cyrus. Stephen Johnson. So, I appreciate you. All right. So, let's go to L.A. Cyrus. It says, do you have a favorite case that you worked during your career and or favorite that you were involved with as an expert witness? I don't know. I think each one of them are my favorites when naturally cold cases, right? Like Corny Coco's and Mary Pouchot's. That's one since I've been a podcaster. Screwdriver Red and Janet Benoit's cold case. God, I think that one was like 30 something years old at the time. David and Christina Constance, they weren't murderers. The dude got away with raping kids for 40 years. And that's the first story I ever told on Real Life, Real Crime. And the fact that the powers that be didn't, because all these victims were so poor. And look, I had 40 something victims, and they told me, don't say anything about aggravated rape and the grand jury and all that. And I went in there. I didn't care if I got fired, and then because they couldn't stop me once I started telling the story. And I said, aggravated rape. And they ended up coming back, calling a halt to the grand jury and coming back and say, okay, we're going for four aggravated rapes. And it took them longer to pick the jury foreman than it did to come back and give that fucker four life sentences. So I don't know that I'm more proud of one of them than the other. Because I'm just as proud of David Constance or Double Clutch being sitting in Angola as I am as Screwdriver Red. I'm really, really proud of all of them, actually. Especially the cold case. The guys and girls, if you will, that got away with it for all those years, those are the ones I'm most proud of, that nobody else could catch. And whether it's as a podcaster or in my career in law enforcement, it was one or the other, obviously. But being able to get these people that nobody else could get, that meant more to me probably than anything, to be honest with you, and still does. That question kind of messed my head up. It's a good question. Yeah, it's like having children. You love all of them, and they're just all different. So thank you for your question, L.A. Cyrus. So let's go to William Michael. This is a good question, William. It says, I have a good friend who is uniform patrol here. He pulled over a guy who provided an ID and then fled. They just let him go because they had his address. The question is, would you have chased? And afterwards, how do you approach the house to arrest? Is this considered a high-risk arrest? Great question, Michael. Pulled over a guy, provided an ID, and then fled. Well, I probably would have given don't know what the fuck their policy is, but if I pull you over and you give me your ID and then you decide to haul ass because your sugar's turning to shit and you know I'm about to search your car or whatever it may be, oh, I'm chasing you. And I'm not going to kill somebody over it. But what if it's a fake ID? What if he gave you a fake ID? Fuck that. You're going to run from me? We're going to dance, right? And I'm going to give pursuit. I mean, you know, I'm not going to do it to the point where people are going to get killed and shit, but I'm going to give pursuit. But let's say I didn't. Let's say that, you know, they let him go because they had his address. I don't fucking get that. But so, yeah, I would have chased. And if I had to approach the house for arrest and if I had to go, he probably ran because he had warrants or he had dope in the car or something like that. But let's say he had warrants and I could definitely validate this dude. Maybe I arrested him before something. You better believe I'm going to the house at 4 o'clock in the morning with my SWAT team buddies. You know, I'm going to get a no-knock warrant and we're going to throw flashbangs in the window and I'm going to blow the rest of the windows out of your house. And we're going to you're going to get got. How about that? Right. That's how I would approach it. High risk. It all goes into the criminal history because you're going to research and you have to do that before you get a warrant. And you're going to ask old timers, you ask around, say, hey, uniform patrol guys, anybody y'all know this dude? Like if somebody arrests him or he's fought before or known to be armed, you know, you have to approach that different one. Yeah. Good question, though, bro. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go to Rick Bolden. He says, hey, yeah. And I can do that because I know where this dude, where he's from. Hey, Woody, I'm from and live in southern Wisconsin and have family in Toma. Y'all, Toma's where Shane and Tracy lives, where I go hide out at. I love Wisconsin, by the way. Anyway, he says, would you ever consider doing a live show in Toma? That would be awesome. I'll tell you what, Rick, that's some of the coolest people in the world in Toma. And I mean, they're like family to me, but you next time I go up, which would be in a couple of weeks for turkey season, when I go up again, I'm going to let you know, if you want to come up to Toma and we go drink a beer at the 400 Club or the Tap House or something like that. I don't have to do a live show, brother, to sit around and drink a beer with you and tell stories. When I drink beer, I'm telling stories regardless. So just ask anybody that drinks with me. But I appreciate you. And, hey, message me where you're at in Wisconsin, Woody@reallifrealcrime.com. And I'll tell you, I think I got the third and fourth turkey season or something like that. Anyway, I'm coming up soon. Appreciate you, Rick, and love my people in Wisconsin. All right, let's go to Ashley Nicole Stoneburner. It says, hi, Woody. Love the show, and I'm a longtime listener. I would love to know if you've ever had any unexplained experiences or anything spooky happen while you were on calls. Thanks. Actually, I get this one every time I do the AMA. Yes, I have, but I've got to tell it, and you reminded me to do it again. I got to tell it on an episode of full length, if not two-part series of Real Life, Real Crime, the original. And let me tell you this. I believe in the paranormal, all right? It's just, the Catholic Church believes in possessions and different things like that. And if they do it, I'm not saying because I'm not Catholic anymore, but if they validate it through all their scientists and everything else, yeah, I've seen shit and I've had shit happen. And if I told you, you wouldn't believe me, but I'm going to put it on an episode, sweetie. And I appreciate that a lot. Right. So, all right, let's go to Mary Marcantel Ballard, another OG lifer. She says, is there any chance for you to be a part of a task force that will allow your investigative skills to continue so when you work a cold case, you don't have to turn evidence over to someone else when you get the bad guy or girl? Great question. And I'm going to tell you this. there's something coming television wise. Let's just say it's in the work. Hypothetically, it's in the works where, I don't know how much I'm supposed to give away. So with Swim, we get to do exactly that. Okay. And I will let y'all know as soon as I know. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if I got to go out and do that and just sit in on these task force and hopefully get to bring some justice for some of these families? That would be amazing. And Mary, also like working with Sheriff Jason Ard and the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office in Miss Barber's case and stuff. So I have helped. And if somebody calls me and asks me for the help, especially a law enforcement agency, I'm going to try to do anything that I can for them. So, good question. And y'all, I think I'm going to end it with Miss Ruth Ann, my sister. And Ruth Ann Palmer, another OG lifer, been to every show and everything else. And look, I get this question almost every day through one social media channel or another. So I want to address this. And it says, what's going on with Scorch Justice? I'm still waiting to hear your take on Darley's case. Ruth Ann, Scorch Justice Season 1, total hit, right? I was with iHeartRadio and Cloud 10. And they, unfortunately, it's the business side of things again. It was unlike Real Life, Real Crime. I mean, Real Life, Real Crime is highly produced, but I don't have the background music and all that sound effects and shit that, you know, the other big shows have. Scorch Justice, we did that. And total success. I mean, we charted. We were in the top 100 and everything else on Jessica Chambers' case and Ming Xiao's case. Now, we had season two, and yes, it was going to be Darley Routier's case in called Death Row Mom, Scorch Justice Season 2. And then guess what happened? Business, the part that I hate, came around. I had recorded 5 episodes, and they had, to their credit, they had paid for the artwork and the 5 episodes to be produced and everything like that. And then guess what happened? The commercial market dried up, meaning the advertisers dried up. They were pulling purse strings or tightening them up for whatever reason. So they kept delaying it. And we had a launch date for such and such, and it would have been done on that day. But when they didn't have the right amount of money to make it profitable for them, they were like, oh, we got to push it back. So they pushed it back again. And guess what happened? Then did it again. The national advertising is there. We're going to wait and do it. And I'm like, I keep giving these release dates and you keep pulling it back. And finally I said, fuck it. I'm not doing it. And I walked away. No, not throwing shade on Cloud 10 Media at all. I love them to death, Sim Sarna and them and Saba. But the fact of the matter is by the time the, you know, third or fourth delay came, I was like, I broke away from anything I heart. I've been inside Darley's house. We've been in contact with her on death row and her family members. Look, I'm going to do it. I just can't do it under Scorch Justice because the business side, they own half of everything that has to do with that. And now I'm going to do it under something else. So, but that's it. That's on Scorch Justice. Now, it's not saying that I won't go back one day and do something separate. I mean, now I think Cloud 10 and iHeartRadio have parted ways. And then I won't go back and do something with Cloud 10. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. But it's the business side of things that fucks up with this great gig I got going. But anyway, that said, that case, Darley's case, holy shit, man. I think I have an angle on it that no one else has. And you're right. I need to do it before they kill her, before they execute her. So, but I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. If I didn't get to your question this time, I will get to it on the next Ask Me Anything. And y'all, we got all these seasons in and all these years in Real Life Real Crime. And going back to telling some old cop stories, but also going to do some things on things that I feel that are important. So just stay tuned. But I love and appreciate each and every one of you. And thank you again, patrons, convicts, and y'all, that's our subscribers. And they get commercial free early releases, and they get all the bonus episodes, which I think is in the mid 20s now, a bonus episodes locked up. Different tier levels get different things like gifts and stuff like that. But Patreon convicts, Apple subscribers, thank you for your support. Lifers, all lifers, I love and appreciate each and every one of you. If you've got a place that you want to do a meet and greet at, and email me, woody@reallifrealcrime.com. Also, you know what? Speaking of the business side of things, we used to promote in the beginning, we used to promote businesses that would contact us and the, you know, would use their product, et cetera, and if we believed in it and they want to advertise with us, we would do that. And you know what? This is Real Life Real Crime, not Real Life Real Crime Daily, Real Life Real Crime. And I think we should be able to use this platform to continue to do that. We had some of the best people in the world, and them advertising on the show was a huge blessing for them. I mean, financially, right? And recognized wise, because lifers bought the products or used the products or whatever. So I think you're going to see more of that. If y'all want to advertise with us, email me at woody@reallifrealcrime.com, and I will put you in with the powers that be. And you would believe, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways you can do it. You know, over 150 some thousand people just on social media alone. And we have our own app and, of course, commercials on the show here itself. I'm not talking about Real Life Real Crime Daily. I'm talking about Real Life Real Crime. And if, you know, if I believe in you, let me help you and help your business grow. So reach out about that. So we'll conclude today's episode. Love all lifers. Thank you so much. And straight up letting this one out of the bag again, Cold Case Files, the new season is coming up. I'm featured in a 1 hour special. I'm not going to tell you any more about it yet. It's been recorded, y'all, for like 4 months. And, so you look out for that. LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. That's my jam, people. They save lives every day. And if you are a lifer from Budapest and you want to become an organ donor, go to LOPA.org. Take 2 minutes, fill out the questionnaire. You don't have to be from the state of Louisiana. Sign up, people. Be a hero. They save lives every day. All right. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, you run in zone, that's for sure. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.